This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
The other night, long tall Sally was out of sight.
Let's not waste any more of her time. Amy Gardner is a reporter with the Washington Post, and she joins us on the long line from the Washington area, Northern Virginia. Amy, how are you?
Hey, Coy, I'm great. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Thanks for spending some time with us. Amy is, we should let you know, she is a member of the Political Leaders Program Class of 2009 at UVA Sorensen Institute. And Amy, as far as your professional career, give us like an Amy Gardner 101. Just tell us a little bit about your journalism background.
Well, I'm a reporter at the Washington Post, as you know, and I cover Virginia politics. I've been doing that for a few years now. And was in North Carolina covering state politics there for 5 years, and was actually covering Virginia politics before that for the Daily Press, which is the local newspaper in Newport News, Virginia.
Absolutely. And where are you from?
I'm from New York.
You end up in the South.
I did end up here, but I've got bona fides now. I have a son who was born in Richmond and one who was born in Raleigh.
Oh, well, now you're a native. There you go. Planting roots in the South. Amy, tell us, give us the backstory on this article that you wrote, I guess a week or two ago now, about Bob McDonald's graduate thesis as a graduate student at Regent University. Tell us, take us back to when you first heard this even existed.
Sure. Well, I have been covering the governor's race for much of the year, and I had been working on an article about Bob McDonald's campaign, and I was taking a look in particular at his conservative roots. This is an issue that has come up again and again, that Bob McDonald has some history supporting conservative causes and being supported by conservative voters and groups such as the Christian Coalition. He graduated from Regent University in Virginia Beach, which was founded by religious broadcaster Pat Robertson, and so I had a sit-down interview with Mr. McDonald, and he mentioned that he had written a thesis about welfare reform, I was interested in taking a look at it, so I got a copy of it and read it, and it is quite a an interesting document. It has a lot of it's got a lot of pretty strong and strongly conservative views in it, and I think it's fair to say some views that are not shared by sort of the mainstream moderate voters who typically decide elections in Virginia. So at that point, I decided to write a story about it.
And the reaction to the story was huge. I mean, your story on the front page of the Post made its own front page news across Virginia.
Yeah, it was a huge reaction, and frankly, I was a little bit taken aback. You never really know what stories are going to have that kind of resonance. I think that there, a couple of things are happening. For one, Bob McDonald is ahead in the polls, and Cree Deeds, the Democratic nominee, is running behind and looking for opportunities to sort of level the playing field. And so, on the one hand, the Democrats sort of seized upon this this news as an opportunity. So the echo chamber was sort of amplified intentionally by political operatives on the left. And then on the other hand, the McDonald camp and their allies reacted pretty defensively in order to tamp down the story and make it go away, because it's not, even though there were all kinds of, perfectly reasonable explanations that Bob McDonald offered about his views on such issues that were expressed in the thesis, such as, the idea that women working is detrimental to the family, and quite strong opinions about, homosexual behavior and out-of-wedlock parenthood and so on, and wanting to restore the teaching of Judeo-Christian values in the public schools. I mean, there was quite a laundry list of interesting and somewhat controversial positions that he espoused in this document. And so even though Bob McDonald came out and said, look, share those all of those views anymore. That was a document that I wrote a long time ago, and I was a graduate student, and I've changed, I've grown, and the issues that I want to talk about are not those. I want to talk about jobs, I want to talk about the economy. So even though he had a good answer, he still didn't want to talk about it too much because I think it was damaging for the campaign for this stuff to be out there. And so all of that contributed to a lot of attention and a lot of media frenzy for at least a certain period of time. I think it's died down a lot now.
We're talking with Amy Gardner. She's a reporter at the Washington Post and covering the gubernatorial campaign here in Virginia as Democratic nominee Creed Eads runs against Republican nominee Bob McDonnell. Amy, I guess one of the quick responses from the McDonnell campaign, as you point out, was, you know, holy cow, that was 20 years ago. That was a long time ago. I've changed. I've grown. You're part of your story and part of your whole research was to look at his legislative career after that to see if there was some correlation. And what did you find?
Well, you know, the thesis wasn't just an exploration of these ideas as personally held beliefs. It was actually a sort of manifesto for political action. It was laid out specifically as a direction for the Republican Party to take to restore traditional values to government, and that's how it was sort of characterized in both the introductory paragraphs as well as in the conclusion, which included a 15-point action plan. This is what the Republican Party needs to do. We need to end welfare. We need to, bring a certain type of analysis to the appointment of judges to be mindful of issues such as abortion and other family value points of view. The obvious question upon reading this for me was, okay, so this document was written, submitted in 1989, the year that he graduated from what was then CBN University. He graduated with a master's in public policy and a law degree. And it was only 2 years later that he was first elected to the Virginia House of Delegates from Virginia Beach in 1991. And so the obvious question was, well, okay, what did he do? Did he bring this action plan with him? And the answer is that he did in some ways, in a lot of ways. He sponsored numerous pieces of legislation restricting access to abortion. He was one of the main authors of major welfare reform legislation during the administration of former Governor George Allen in the 1990s. He at one point voted against a resolution that supported the idea of equality, equal pay for men and women in the workplace, and that one I also found and threw in there as an example. I mean, that's one of the ones where Bob says now, look, I don't support discrimination in the workplace. I don't oppose women entering the workplace. That's just a view that I don't hold now. And, you know, obviously it's up for, voters to make that judgment on whether they believe that.
My guest is Amy Gardner of the Washington Post. She's covering the race for the governor's mansion here in Virginia this year. Amy, let me ask you this. Critics are saying that the Post is getting quite involved in the governor's race this year, that it arguably had an impact in the Democratic primary when they, late in the game, gave their support to Creed Eads, and that really changed the tide, it seemed. And we're seeing a lot of coverage on the front page, stories by you, critical of, I shouldn't say necessarily critical of Bob McDonnell, but certainly pointing out some things that his campaign has to play defense on. What are your thoughts on this, that some of the criticism that's been leveled against the Post?
I don't think it's fair, obviously, and that's an obvious answer, but it's the truth. We're not partisans, and I write tough stories about Democrats and Republicans, and this happens to be a string where I've been writing some tough stories about Bob McDonnell, but it's not always going to be that way. First of all, our editorial page is an opinion maker, and we are an influential newspaper. There's no question. I mean, something on the order of 800,000 people look at our newspaper on Sunday mornings in Northern Virginia alone. But there's a very tall and thick wall between the news department and the editorial page. We found out, me and my colleagues who cover the Virginia governor's race, found out that our editorial page had endorsed Creed Eads when it went up on the Internet that night at 11 o'clock. We had no idea that that was coming. We had nothing to do with it. Did it have an impact on the race? It did. There's no question. But it also needs to be said that the Deeds campaign, managed by a young man named Joe Abbey, took, you know, deep advantage of that opportunity and sort of worked it for all it was worth, which is a testament to what people in Northern Virginia think of the opinions of the Washington Post. That doesn't mean that our news department was on a mission to get Deeds elected, because that's simply not so. And nor are we on a mission now to get Deeds elected.
We're talking with Amy Gardner of the Washington Post. Amy, you had a front page story yesterday dealing with another episode in Bob McDonnell's legislative career regarding a circuit court Judge Askew. Who is that, and what is this story?
Who is Judge Askew? Is that
right.
The question?
Yeah.
Judge Verbena Askew was Virginia's first female black circuit court judge. She was appointed to the bench in the mid-1990s. I think it was 1995. By a Democratic-controlled legislature. The circuit court judges serve 8-year terms in Virginia. And in 2003, she was not reappointed to the bench, which is unusual. It does happen, but it doesn't happen that often. What happened was, by 2003, the Republican Party controlled both houses of the legislature, and a couple of Republican state senators, one of whom represented a portion of Newport News, Tommy Normand, had gotten wind of complaints about Judge Askew's judicial conduct and courtroom demeanor and were fielding some concerns. And so they were starting to look at, to investigate as to whether they thought that she would be fit for reappointment. And they stumbled upon evidence that there had been a sexual harassment settlement between the city of Hampton, where she operated a drug court, and a female colleague of Judge Askew's who had alleged that Judge Askew had sexually harassed her. And although Judge Askew never settled the case and denied not only that she'd ever harassed this woman, but also denies she says she's not gay, it was held up as evidence that she was not fit for the bench. In particular, when she was filling out the questionnaires that judges need to fill out in order to seek reappointment, she did not disclose on that form the harassment suit, and there was some question as to whether she should have, because there's a question on that form that asks if you've ever been a party to a civil proceeding. And she said that she answered that question honestly, and she was not a party to this settlement, and therefore that shouldn't have been held against her, but she lost her seat. So this was a rather sensational period in General Assembly history. First of all, there were allegations that involved sexual orientation. It was somewhat dramatic. She is black, and so the black caucus of the legislature was up in arms that the first black female circuit judge was under such scrutiny, under fire. So there were these undercurrents of allegations of racism and discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation that made it somewhat sensational.
And didn't Bob McDonnell tell the newspaper that her homosexual conduct, quote-unquote, was relevant to her sitting on the bench because that was a crime against nature?
That's right. He did. He was quoted in the Daily Press, which I mentioned to you earlier, I used to work for, actually, although I was not there at the time. I was down in North Carolina when all of this was happening. He was quoted by a reporter named Terry Scanlon saying that that exactly what you said, that a person's sexual behavior could be relevant if it violated state laws. And the law in question was the Crimes Against Nature statute, which is a statute that does lots of things. It prohibits all kinds of behavior, including incest and bestiality, but it also prohibits what is commonly known as oral sodomy. And so so that sort of brought this aspect of, you know, the judge's sexual behavior and sexual orientation to the fore of this conversation. And so that's what I wrote about this week, was his role in that.
And that was the front page of the Washington Post yesterday, another article by Amy Gardner, a Washington Post staff writer covering the gubernatorial campaign in Virginia this year between Creed Eads and Bob McDonnell. Amy, hopefully you can join us again here as this race heats up and we only get more interested and more people are going to be paying attention here as we get into the last lap of a long race.
I'll be happy to.
Wonderful. Thank you, Amy, so much.
Thanks,
we'll talk
Coy.
To you again.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.